You're listening to the Big Picture program on Radio Islam, and we cross over to Isipingo, where we're joined on the line by Uncle A.B. Dawji. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Durban, Habibi, Habibi.
What a welcome to Durban it has been with the type of weather we're having.
You can see, things are so wonderful in Durban. Nice, cool weather, alhamdulillah. In fact, there's just a slight breeze. And today, I think I'll be doing a spot of hang gliding. The weather is perfect.
Alhamdulillah. We begin with the story that caught your eye for the week.
Well, you know, at this time, usually I discuss something bizarre, something crazy, strange, and just over the top. But I always say that often real life is stranger than fiction. And things that are happening in the world today are absolutely bizarre, unbelievable, and totally crazy, especially things that come out of the White House. Now, as I said before, I think Donald Trump is an excellent choice for POTUS. That, of course, means President of the United States, the greatest country in the world, the world's leading democracy, the world's policemen. They hate us because of our values. You see, they hate us because of our values. Now, two reasons why I supported Donald Trump instead of Hillary Clinton. Firstly, because he is not going to make America great again. He's going to make America third rate again. It's going to go down the drain, and it's already happening. The second reason that I like him is because he is, as I said, giving me so much of material for the program. Mr. Shrub, George Bush Jr., kept me busy. And now this complete ulu, silly fella, Donald, is saying and doing bumper-to-bumper stupid things. I like it. And the world is really shell-shocked. Shell-shocked since he entered the White House. The world is shell-shocked. Ah, yes, that's a good word. Shell-shocked. I don't know about Joburg, but here in Durban, that word has been in use for a very, very long time. And the bullies may remember it. It is used to imply that someone is mad. Hey, that fella is a real shell shock, eh? Remember? And after a while, that expression was abbreviated. It was shortened to just shell. Hey, that auntie is completely shell. But dear listeners, this is an educational program, and the word shell shock has its origins in the First World War, when soldiers were in the battlefield and bombs were falling all around them. It really traumatized them very badly. Another word for bombs is shells. So shells falling all around them shocked the soldiers so much that it affected their mental state, made them extremely nervous, and nowadays, of course, it's called PTSD, which is post-traumatic stress disorder. In short, they are shell-shocked. See, sometimes you learn something useful on this program. Yeah. Tell the bully, ladies, tell the bully today, while he is has a mouthful of dalgos, I think A.B. Dawji is a real shell-shock. He, of course, will say, what you talking about? He sounds okay. What you mean he's mad? Then you hit him with this one. No, 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 no. You don't understand. When I say shell shock, I mean what soldiers suffered in the First World War when bomb shells were falling all around and soldiers' nerves were finished, just like A.B. Dawji was in Iraq and George Bush was dropping... Sometimes I think he sounds a little nervous, eh? Traumatic disorder, I think it is called. I can make out from his voice, eh? I can make out from his voice. That should get the belly all choked up. But dear listeners, I really think Donald Trump is shell. The way we used that term in Durban some time ago means that he's cronk. And I came across quite an interesting comment, an article this week in the British Independent newspaper. Listen to this. Until recently, psychologists were not allowed to assess public figures and talk to journalists about their findings. But this rule is now being cast aside, and mental health experts are speaking out against Trump. In a bid to warn the public, psychologists are publishing the diagnoses of Trump. Most recently, John D. Gartner said it was dangerous to the man in the and the mix of social personality and narcissism is that one of the most common diagnoses of some psychologists. Dr. Jody Futrell told the New York Daily News, narcissism impairs his ability to see reality, so you can't use logic to persuade someone like that. 3 million women marching doesn't move him. Advisors point out that the policy choice doesn't work, he won't care. In December, 3 leading professors of psychiatry wrote to Barack Obama expressing their grave concerns over Trump's mental stability. This is what they said. His widely reported symptoms of mental instability, including grandiosity, impulsivity, hypersensitivity to slights, insults or criticism, and an apparent inability to distinguish between fantasy and reality, lead us to question his fitness for the immense responsibilities of the office. The professors from Harvard Medical School and the University of California wrote to the then president, urging him to order a full medical and neuropsychiatric evaluation of the then president-elect Donald Trump. Just after the election, a group called Citizen Therapists Against Trumpism was created, which was joined by thousands of psychologists. They published a manifesto warning of Trump's psychosis, citing the following as the signs that you should fear in Donald Trump. This is what they said. Scapegoating and banishing groups of people who are seen as threats, including immigrants and religious minorities, degrading, ridiculing. It to fear and anger, promises to solve our problems if we just trust in him. He invents history and has little concern for truth and sees no need for rational persuasion. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Now, listen to this. I just came across this in an article this week. It says here, on July 26, 1920, H.L. Mencken, an American journalist, satirist, and cultural critic, wrote in the Baltimore Evening Sun. Now listen to this very carefully. This is what he wrote. In 1920, as democracy is perfected, the office of the president represents more and more closely the inner soul of the people. On some great and glorious day, the plain folks of the land will reach their heart's desire at last, and the White House will be occupied by a downright fool and a complete narcissistic moron. 1920, can you believe it? Good heavens. Did you hear that? This American journalist said this in 1920, that the White House will be occupied by a downright fool and a complete narcissistic moron. Well, what more can I say? I am shell-shocked by this statement. It's so spot on, so true. Narcissistic personality. The world revolves. When somebody has this, it means that the world revolves around him. Like an eight-year-old, cannot take any criticism, gets angry. You get the Donald Duck is shell. I think he is. But as I said, don't take my word for it. The psychologists have pronounced it already, as I read out to you. So, my dear friends, it's official. Donald Trump is a first-class ulu. Now, you just have to listen to him. That's all. You just have to listen to him, and it becomes very clear. He is now the president of the United States. He won the elections. He must look ahead, make the world a better place, do positive things for the future of humanity, look forward. So what does he do? He looks backwards. This week he met with a whole lot of African Americans at the White House to speak to them about Black History Week. This is celebrated every year. What did he tell them? He said, well, you know, people were saying that black people will not vote for me, but you did in large numbers, so I won. They were wrong. Then he met at the White House yesterday, I think it was, a delegation from the factory that makes the famous motorcycle, the Harley Davidson. What did he tell them? People said, I won't win, but I did, and I thank you people for voting for me. What's wrong with this guy? He wants to keep saying that he won, and people were wrong over and over and over again. That is so absolutely childish, very silly. He just can't get over it that he won. And remember, he had this, he had his TV program, The Apprentice. It was, of course, very, very popular, a big hit. Well, recently, Arnold Schwarzenegger was the host of that program. So Donald had to say something about him. This week he said that. He said he had to say how much better he was at doing the show than Schwarzenegger. This is what he said. Since Arnold Schwarzenegger took over the ratings, took over the show, the ratings for the show have gone right down, completely down. Now, you see how silly he is. He is now the president of the United States, a position far, far greater, a million times greater than being a host of a TV show. But no. He has to show that he was better than Arnold is right now doing the show. And I like this. I really like this. Last night, Arnold Schwarzenegger shot back. He said, listen, Donald, I'll tell you what. Why don't we swap positions? You run the TV show, and I'll be the president, and the world can sleep in peace again. Wow, that was so like a nice sound clap. Hasta la vista, baby. And of course, Arnold Schwarzenegger has experience as a politician. He was governor of California for many years. So, how long has Donald Trump been president? Can you believe it? Only about 13 days, last Friday. And he has already done so much of damage. So let's look at who he has offended so far since he became the president. Here is the list. He has offended women. Millions marched just over a week ago, the day after he entered the White House, because of his crude talk and gross disrespect for women. Remember that video is in my hand about how he approaches women, and also the women who part is misogynistic. So women are offended by the rule. The general saying that people in the media are the guarding people on the he offended instead, calling them things like the tongue. And he was people who have, there was a man who had, I think, a motor neuron problem, and his whole body would shake, and he was addressing a question to Donald Trump, and Donald Trump made fun of him, imitating his body movement and so on. So he offended people who are physically challenged. He offended Germany also this week, saying that it manipulated the euro to its benefit, implying some sort of crookery. And a few days ago he offended Australia by speaking roughly on the phone to the Prime Minister about the issue of refugees. And then according to reports, he banged the phone down. He made the Scottish and many British very angry when he was playing golf at his golf course in Scotland, when he said that Brexit, that means Britain leaving Europe, was a very good thing. Many British are very cross about this, and of course all the other negative things about him. and they all signed an online petition, a petition on the internet saying that he should be banned from coming, refused entry to Britain, which is the visit is due to take place sometime in the middle of the year, June or July. So far, the number of people who have added their names to the petition on the internet has reached nearly 2 million. With such a large number of objections, it's now compulsory for the British Parliament to debate the issue, and this debate is due to take place on the 20th of February. So, great deal of tamasha in the near future. Watch this space. Oh, one more thing. I learned a new word this week. Clicktivism. C-L-I-C-K-T-I-V-I-S-M. Clicktivism. You heard of activism. Well, an activist is a person who stands up for a cause like Palestine and so on. So, on an online petition, if you go to an online, any online petition, you can click on either yes or no if you agree or disagree to show whether you are for or against a particular issue. So by clicking, you are adding your voice. And so that is clicktivism. Wow. Remember, you heard it first on the Big Picture. And back to the subject. Donald Trump has also offended China by calling Taiwan, calling the Taiwanese Prime Minister. And of course, we know that China says Taiwan is part of China and should not be recognized by any country in the world. And Donald also said that China has no claim to some South Sea islands in the Pacific, which are in dispute. China is claiming them. Donald said, no. And so it goes on. Donald, the bull in the China shop, a one-man wrecking ball. And he just offends and offends. Did I leave anyone out? Remind me? Ah, yes, the Muslims. The Muslims, you. Okay, let's ask some very serious questions. Should America stop terrorists from entering the United States? And the answer is, of course it should. Should any country stop terrorists entering? Of course it should. Should South Africa stop people who plan to blow up malls and shoot people in the restaurants? That, as they say, is a no-brainer. Of course we should. Right. Good. So, Donald Duck says that he wants to keep America safe. And he will do this by extreme vetting. What does that mean, extreme vetting? Keep extreme vetters out, eh? Maybe. The AWB. Nah, of course, the joke. He means taking extreme measures to thoroughly check each person entering the United States, especially from Muslim countries, to make certain that they won't pose a danger to the United States. Extreme vetting. Examine very carefully, thoroughly investigate, make 150% certain. Okay? You got that right. Now, oh, by the way, Trump said a long time ago that it's a Muslim ban. It's a Muslim ban. Well, it turns out, according to his spokesperson this week, who's a really smooth talker, that it's neither about Muslims nor is it a ban. Did you get that? Are you feeling relieved now? The nonsense that comes out of that White House size I'm here. So, extreme vetting. Here's the big news. Are you there, Mufti?
Yes.
Here's the big news. Extreme vetting has already been in place at all entry points in the United States. It's been there. The U.S. State Department's website said this very clearly. Anyone arriving at the United States will be subjected to intensive interrogation and screening before they are allowed to enter or may be denied entry. It's there. Well, it was there. The statement was there until just over a week ago when it was deleted. Why was it deleted? Because Trump doesn't want you to know that extreme vetting was already in place for a long time. He wants to make it appear as if it's something new that he thought about. He wants to make America safe again by this extreme vetting, which was never there before. That's what he's trying to imply. And by the way, even before you arrive in the United States, you are vetted. Here's something very funny, and you can check it up. There's a form that you have to fill in when you are applying for a U.S. visa. One question is, believe it or not, have you taken part in any terrorist activities? I tell you. So how do you answer that? How do you answer that? I spent a few months with Al-Shabaab. They seem like really nice guys, and once you get to know them, eh? Another question, are you planning to smuggle weapons into the United States? Yes, boss. I've got some AK-47 I bought in Amlazi and some grenades I stole from SA Defense Force Camp Newcastle. Dear listeners, he told a U.S. visa form. It's absolutely hilarious. But exactly what level of vetting will they do? What is the red line? What disqualifies a person from entering the United States? How serious must that person's activities be to label him or her a danger and therefore deny entry? Let me tell you about one criterion that they use, one measurement, one yardstick to deny entry. And that yardstick is me. That's right, me. I applied last year, as you know, in May. Sorry, denied. I'm too dangerous. I'm too dangerous, so visa was denied. Let me let you into a secret. Nobody knows this. I never slaughtered a chicken in my life or anything else for that matter. I feel very sad to take a life. Seriously, I'm being this serious here. And believe it or not, even when I spray a cockroach, I feel sorry for it, or even a mosquito. Maybe I'm really shell-shocked, eh? But if a relatively harmless person like me can be labeled a danger to the United States, a potential terrorist, then what chance have anyone with just a hint of aggressive tendencies, eh? No chance whatsoever, Habibi. Zero, brazo. Extreme vetting. Yes, Donald says that he will stop anyone coming from seven countries, Iran, Iraq, Somalia, Libya, Syria, Yemen, Sudan. It's not a Muslim ban. They just happen to be Muslim, and they just happen to be banned from coming to the United States. So, how many citizens from these countries have carried out terrorist attacks in the United States? And the answer is zero, not nothing, no one. No one from outside entered and from these countries and carried out attacks. Except we are told 19 hijackers from countries who are not on the banned list, Saudi Arabia and the Emirates. We were told they came from there. So, who carried out attacks in the United States? Let's look at one or two characters. The big one, Umar Mateen, was born in the United States. He attacked the gay club in Orlando, Florida, and killed 49 people. Was he a radical Islamist or Islamic terrorist, to use Donald Trump's words? Well, it is claimed that he was gay and visited the club very often, and he was often very drunk there. What about the two brothers? Oh, by the way, he was born in the United States, Umar Mateen. Was born in the United States. He didn't come from outside. What about the two brothers who planted bombs at the Boston Marathon? As far as I know, they were also born in the United States and were American citizens. So Donald wants to stop terrorists entering. But the terrorists are inside America already. They are Americans. They were born there. They're not visitors or refugees. So his executive order that he signed should have been subjected to extreme vetting before it was signed. Or maybe Donald Trump's brain should be subjected to extreme vetting by psychiatrists before deciding to give him the most powerful position in the world and put him in charge of that nuclear button. actually Trump's main concern is his over-inflated ego. That's what he's talked about, how he won the elections and how wonderful he is and so on. That's all, his over-inflated ego. He's got no intelligence for worrying about or shaping policy. That he leaves to others. And the main character is, as I told you before, and remember this name, Steve Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N. Steve Bannon, remember that name. He's going to feature prominently in the next couple of years. That's his Donald is still in the White House. This guy was a former radio talk show host. And he also was also a director of a website called Breitbart, Breitbart.com. And on his radio show and website, he spewed hate for blacks and Jews and Muslims and others. Hate. This is what he said. He said, George Bush is the dumbest president who made the dumbest statement that Islam is a religion of peace. And then I got a whole lot of other statements that he made against Muslims and against refugees and so on. So, first, Donald Trump, when he came into office, made this character, Steve Bannon, his advisor. And a few days ago, he put him on the U.S. National Security Council, the highest body dealing with foreign policy. It is now very clear that Bannon was responsible for the Muslim ban executive order signed by Donald Trump. A president with no brains and his advisor who is anti-Muslim bigot and Islamophobe, what a toxic combination. Let us pray.
Yes, absolutely. Difficult times, undoubtedly. Is there a light at the end of the tunnel?
There's always light at the end of the tunnel, Maulana. But unfortunately, I have to recycle one. I hope everybody's forgotten this one. You know, many Indians are today living in what was formerly known as white areas. I'm sure it's happening in Joburg also. Here in Durban, in the Musgrave and Morningside areas, there are lots of Indians living there, lots of Indian homes. Of course, for Mark, every Friday evening after work would braai big, fat, juicy steaks in his front garden. Well, most of his neighbors are Hindus, and the aroma carried by the evening breeze of braaiing steaks disturb them somewhat, as they don't eat beef. Well, they didn't know what to do. This was carrying on for a while. They didn't know what to do. So they had a meeting. All the Hindus in that area had a meeting and decided to tell the priest at the nearby temple to invite him and try to convert him. So the priest called Kuas over for dinner and told him all about Hinduism. It is the oldest religion, and it is a peaceful religion, and it respects all religion. You should try it, Mr. Farmak. So Kuas was very impressed by this long lecture about Hinduism and agreed to become a Hindu. The next day, at a big function at the temple, the priest conducted the ceremony by sprinkling holy water over him and saying, "You were born a Catholic, you were raised a Catholic, and now you are Hindu. And everybody was so delighted, the whole crowd, and it clapped very loudly, and Kuvas was very pleased with himself. But when Friday came, there again the aroma of braaiing steak filled the whole neighborhood. The priest rushed over to Kuvas's house just in time to see him holding a small bottle and sprinkling water over the grilling meat and chanting, You was born a cow, you was raised a cow, but now you is a snook, okay?"
Jazakumullah khair, we appreciate your time, a lovely joke, a killer one in the end, and we look forward to chatting to you again next week, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.